Hey, welcome to Falcon Cast. We're back after a brief hiatus. My name is Matt Moore, alongside Jay Adams and the legendary DJ Shockley. Thanks for being patient with us. I don't know if do we have an overhead camera, Bosek? Do we have that?
Bosek, you got to have the 360.
Oh, look, see,
That's not the right angle.
We extended the studio a little bit, knocked down a wall.
Best we could do.
So we can get a little bit bigger, better.
Need the camera like right there.
And also, hey, I want to say hi to everyone on Periscope today. Morgan's back here.
Periscope, talk to us.
Innovate continuously is what I say. So with Periscope,
that's what
out
we
there,
say.
That's what we got to do. But, hey, how you guys doing? How was your break, Shock? I know you missed us.
I did.
Every time we'd text Shock and say, hey, Shock, no Falcon Cast, he would be like, no!
Dude, we would get capital letter emails and texts
back.
Both
like, I'm glad you passed that on to the guys.
Yeah.
When they text me, they said, hey, don't worry about it. You know, we're not going to be able to be Falcon Cast.
Oh, we thought we were doing you a favor.
I said unacceptable. Unacceptable.
We would sit there and come up with we would have the tough task of deciding, do we Falcon?
I have guys coming to me all the time. People love watching the show. People come to me all the time and say,
and we appreciate them.
They always talk about they want to come on the show, they want to be able to talk, and they're like, why are you guys not doing it this week? I don't understand what's going on. The guys come and say, hey, all right, this week, this is what I want you guys to talk about. Yeah. Like, they're trying to give us topics and stuff. So it's pretty cool.
We catch HE double hockey sticks sometimes. that's good. That means people are watching it. So.
Well, I hope this week they'd want to talk about this little guy that came out.
Happened last night, right?
Schedule release, which is, give Jay some credit and Morgan and their team. This is one of their Super Bowl days, the schedule release day. Because they got to get this thing. We're waiting. Shock, let me tell you how this is during the day. We are waiting with bated breath for this schedule.
Really?
And then someone will text it to us, finally get it. Because then we got to get this thing ready for the release.
Right. Because when the NFL releases it.
You guys already had it, though,
right? We already got it. We're not going to make fans wait an extra 15, 20 minutes for us to get our stuff
together. That's what I'm talking about,
man. All I wanted to do was text my buddy Kreeble, who's a big Eagles fan, like, kick your butt on opening Monday night, but I couldn't because you got to wait till 8 o'clock.
You know, and I'm already seeing about this opening night. Let's just kick off the conversation here about the schedule. I'm already seeing where the Eagles are favored by 1.5
already
before the draft has even started.
I call that the Tim Tebow factor.
Sure,
right?
That's the Tebow.
Please
effect.
Don't go there.
That's
it can't be.
That's the Tebow effect.
It might should be minus. I'm gonna leave that alone though.
But here's the thing, fans. Strap in and get ready because this is not this matchup. It's a marquee matchup. Philadelphia has been the darling for a while, especially with Chip Kelly, all the moves that they've made this year. We haven't even gotten to the draft. We don't know what kind of rabbit he's going to pull out of his hat at the draft.
Right.
Get used to it because the Falcons are going to be the little redheaded stepchild for a couple of months now. The media is going to be all up on the Eagles, and we know that. So strap in, prepare for that, and let's shock the world on Monday Night Football.
That's what's interesting about this first game is, like you mentioned, there's so many storylines already going in. I mean, you got to think about it's going to be the first game DeMarco Murray is playing for Philly. You already talked about all the stuff Chip Kelly does, and then you got Coach Quinn and his new system coming in. Everybody knows here's a new start. The players are talking about how it's a better feeling around. The atmosphere is a lot better. So many new look guys on defense for the Falcons, and then, you know, the Eagles making all their changes up front, and it's going to be interesting. You don't know who their quarterback's going to be. You know, they got Sanchez. You know, traded Foles over to get Bradford. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. And like you just mentioned, they brought Tebow in. You don't know what they're going to plan with that. So there's so many storylines, and everybody's going to want to talk about Philly. And that's what's going to be interesting.
Everyone.
And the Falcons just fly under the radar. But the good thing is, they're at the dome, baby.
That's right. And everybody's going to overlook the fact that Dan Quinn is bringing in a brand-new defense with brand-new personnel. Everybody's going to want to look back and say, oh, well, the Falcons were the worst defense in the league last year, and they're not going to want to give any due. So be prepared for that as well. But I think that's a silly view to take, and we'll see things kind of evolve here over the rest of the offseason. We'll get through the draft, see what comes out of that. But I expect there to be a darn good matchup between that high-powered offense and the new Falcons defense.
And what's even going to be something you got to look at is, okay, Chip Kelly's going to have 2 whole 3 months to get ready for this one game. So you know there's going to be wrinkles. He's going to have some things that's going to work against the Falcons defense. That's just because he's a creative guy, and it's going to be the same thing with the Falcons as well going against him. So it's not going to be – I don't think Chip Kelly's going to look too much at this Falcons defense from last year. He's going to have to look at Seattle's defense, how they mm-hmm. played, and how his scheme-wise fits with the Falcons. And also, Falcons got different personnel already. I mean, we mm-hmm. haven't even gotten to the draft yet, and they already got different personnel on the defensive side of the ball. That's going to look a lot different from last year.
But what all you're going to hear about is how the Falcons were the 32nd defense in the league last year. Nobody's going to want to give us any due, so I'm already preparing for that.
Jay's already fired up.
I am fired up. I'm already offended.
You know, 2005, last time the Falcons opened up Monday night against the Philadelphia Eagles, and it was a rematch of the NFC Championship game. Mm. And it was, I don't know if you remember this, but it was a big fight pregame. Jeremiah Trotter got thrown out of the game
in pregame.
It's one of the if you ever find it, there's a NFL Films clip where like, you know, they have everyone mic'd up and their big brawl breaks out and Rich McKay's mic'd up and he goes out and the ref's like, hey, we got to throw two guys out of the game. And Rich is like, no, you don't want to do that. He goes, you don't want
right,
to do that.
Right.
And he goes, oh, who are the two guys? And they're like, Jeremiah Trotter. And he's like,
Oh, yeah, okay. That's fine.
Do what you got to do. It was awesome.
That makes
awesome.
Sense. I understand.
But, you know, we've talked Philly, but I thought it was interesting when we got the schedule. Three back-to-back-to-back NFC East opponents. You don't play an NFC South opponent, division opponent, until week six.
On a short
week.
You get
all four NFC East opponents finished within the first 5 weeks. What are your thoughts on that? I would be interested to hear because I thought it was kind of interesting that – you know, that's a really good division, always yes. is, and you gotta bring your A game to start this schedule.
Everybody considers the NFC East to be the cream of the crop in the NFC, and it's a competitive division. You know, the NFC West has certainly come on in recent years, but top to bottom, you know, you usually get a pretty good competition between these four teams. And you're facing the three toughest ones, I think, right off the bat, and playing two of them on the road back to back. I mean, going back to New York after you were there, you know, we got to go to MetLife Stadium twice, which would actually be kind of nice. But then you got to go to Dallas on the second part of that, and Dallas is going to be a hungry team this year. So that's that three game stretch is going to be tough. I say if you go, you know. Obviously, if you go 2-1 during that stretch, you're feeling pretty darn good about it.
That gauntlet's going to be something to be.
How about True Font? What do you think he thinks of this first three? Look at the receivers he gets to go up against.
He's loving it.
Yeah, I think the big thing is everybody's going to be excited because you're going to see exactly where your team is off the bat from early jump. I mean, like you said, Cowboys, everybody has Cowboys to be peaking. And they're going to be a team that's going to be really exciting to watch. Like you said, you got to play the Giants. I'm sure Trufant's going to be excited to see Odell Beckham Jr. again. I mean, he that was his coming out party really last year. The mm-hmm. first game back, he had a pretty good game versus the Falcons. Then, you know, go to Dallas. But, you know, the Monday night game speaks for itself. But to get those four NFC East opponents out the way, and then you got Shannon who, you know, was in Washington. So that should help with the planning and preparation for that game. But to get those out the guys out of the way, it's going to be interesting to see.
And let's not discount Houston with that defensive line. I mean,
they just added Will Fork too. So
God,
I mean.
it's a really tough start to the season. And I think that you know the tone that's been set since Dan Quinn came in is only going to help during these first four games. I don't know that Quinn is going to adopt the same four quarters mentality that we've dealt with. But you know, you want to come out of that. I would say at least 500.
And you talk about that Houston game, and we're not just skipping over the Houston game, but Houston's going to be pivotal, for the offensive line. I mean, you talk about Wolford Clowney, if he comes back and he's fully healthy, and obviously J.J. Watt, and you got a new offensive line for the Falcons. Hopefully by week four, you're really starting to get in your groove. You're gelling pretty good. And that's going to be a real test for your offensive line to be able to get that football off, especially with that defensive front they have.
Anything on Periscope? What are they saying about the schedule? They like it?
Yeah, they were asking about the NFC East teams and if the Falcons can make a statement by steamrolling through those.
Are we now, picking her up on mic, Bosa?
I can hear it.
No, I just want to make sure we can repeat the question. We're asking, can the Falcons run the gauntlet there and make a statement?
Well, that would be a heck of a statement if you ran the gauntlet.
If you go 3-0 right there, absolutely. You're going into Houston 3-0. That's gigantic.
Dan Quinn could come back into for that week four game.
Oh, he could run for mayor.
The Ric Flair. He'd have like the Ric Flair like robe on, you know? Like, I mean, if you go 3-0 against the NFC East, You know, they'll show that, you know, in the NFL countdown where we're now arriving. You can just come in with the sunglasses and the robe. You know, that would be unbelievable. You know, I think it is important, though. You got to, you know, that Philly game is important to set the tone because it's so important to win at home. And especially as you go back to back on NFC East, you know, tough places to play.
I say you got to win two of those. Two of those three.
Two out of the first three is a must.
I mean, obviously, you try to win all three, but if you go.
I say you got to win your home game.
Yeah.
And then.
If you pick off one of the other two there.
Hope you catch a break on the other two, and then you come back and take care of business home and home. And then look at that. You've got a
short week.
You're up.
And let me tell you something. This team is going to be fired up for that Thursday night game.
Was there any doubt that we were going to go to New Orleans on Thursday night?
No. Come on. We knew it. Come on. We were talking about it all
day. You
knew
it was going to be a prime time or one of those games with New Orleans. And New Orleans is going to be looking at that the same way as the Falcons
look at it. I heard some rumors that some people were not happy that the Falcons had only had home Thursday nights lately. So I kind of knew that we were going to be going on the road. And I said, it will be New Orleans.
No doubt. And it's true. You know, the Falcons haven't had any away Thursday night games, and so this will be a first time for everybody who's been here. But, you know, that's a tough week. You're at home against Washington, and then Monday, Tuesday, you've got to get right into practices. Wednesday, you'll have a walkthrough in the morning, and then you're flying out in the afternoon. Well, you're going.
And the good thing about having a home game, you don't have to travel. And usually you got to travel, that takes away from the preparation.
Absolutely.
Because you got to leave out on that Wednesday. So they'll have an extra day, a little bit more time than New Orleans will, because they got to think about they have to travel, and it takes away from the preparation of the week. Yeah.
What does changing up the routine do for you guys?
It sucks.
I mean, it's got to, like, really.
Oh, it's terrible because as a professional, you start to get into a rhythm, especially when you have those 1 o'clock games. Even the night games, they change the rhythm for you. Even a Monday night game,
you're sitting around all day.
You're sitting around the hotel. I mean, you're sitting around all day long in the hotel room, waiting. You're watching other games, and then the next day comes around so much faster. But even if you have a Thursday game, it just changed up your preparation. I remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about how, as quarterbacks, how we used to go through a set schedule throughout the week. Okay, we had Monday, we watched this. Tuesday, we did this. You need Monday to get in the hot tub. You need Tuesday to get in the cold tub. You need Wednesday to get your massage. I mean, you got all these things that you have planned out that helps you prepare for a Sunday. So if it changes to a Thursday or it changes to a Monday or a Sunday night, it just changes up the rhythm for you a little bit. And just thankfully, it doesn't happen all the time, but it does affect the guys in certain ways. But some guys, you just got
to
deal with it.
Does it get to the point where when you play on a Thursday – especially when you're trying to travel on a Wednesday, do you cut out some of the stuff that is vital to you during a game preparation week?
Well, the biggest thing for your body is you have to get up a little bit early. You got to get in the facility a little bit earlier, do all the things you need to do. Sometimes you got to get your preparation. So you got to make sure you're watching your film. You got to make sure you're mentally ready for the game. But it really cuts out. Maybe you can't get that massage. Maybe you can't go to the chiropractor. I mean, it's just things that – and sometimes when you go through a game on Sunday – and you have an ache, sometimes you don't feel good until like Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And that's just part of the healing process. So you think about Monday, sometimes you have a day off. Tuesday, you know, you definitely have a day off, but you're still in here. But you're giving your body time to recuperate. But if you don't have that time, you're playing on Thursday. Yeah. Wednesday, you don't have time. Monday, you don't have time to get your body all the way back right because you got to go out and practice. You got to put together the game plan. You got to put that to the side. So sometimes – that's why sometimes you don't see a lot of competitive, real good games on Thursdays. I mean, I know that was talked about last year. Is guys just that's why it's good you play an opponent that you know too, though.
Yeah.
Because that takes away some of the preparation.
And one
that you know
there'll be no problem getting fired up for.
No doubt.
Right.
Hey, you know, one thing I noticed, I was kind of talking to someone about this last night. When you look at the schedule of your opponents, there's a lot of uncertainty at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Of the teams you play. You look at, you know, Philly, kind of uncertainty at quarterback.
Yep.
Houston, uncertainty at quarterback.
Yep.
Washington, uncertainty at quarterback.
Tennessee,
Tampa.
Absolutely.
Then Minnesota, you kind of don't know.
I mean, heck, even so, everything we've heard in the offseason is San Francisco.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
who
knows?
I mean, you can say you know you're going to see Eli, Romo, Breeze, and Kaepernick, I think, and Cam Newton. Other than that, and Luck. Other than that, you really don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy that, you know, there'll be some storylines. And, you know, next Thursday night of the draft is going to be interesting to see where a lot of your opponents do, because there's going to be, you know, some of these opponents that you play may draft a quarterback.
Absolutely.
And you could see Marcus Mariota week 7. You could see him, you know,
you could see Winston the next week, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's what you've got to prepare for is, you know, Tampa makes that first pick and everything is pointing to that it's going to be Jameis Winston. I mean, you're already scouting for him, you know, because you have to. You've got the rookie quarterbacks. I mean, there's not a whole lot that really you don't have pro tape on them. You got to go back to the college stuff and you got to guess a lot. There's a lot of smiling and laughing going on back here. What's going on over here? We got Periscope stuff?
Periscope. Are awesome.
Uh-oh. What's that?
What's going on
Periscope?
Oh, they're saying hey to you. Oh, sorry.
Oh, wow.
I thought we had missed something.
One Finn was telling Morgan not to laugh, and the Finn was like, "Oh, I know you're laughing, Morgan. Hold it together." Morgan's laughing back there.
Any other questions in Periscope?
Jim Spiritwear says, "Hi, Morgan."
Jim, there's a mug. Jim Spiritwear.
Mike Shia 13 said, "I did get you." Here's a question. If Beasley/Fowler are gone at 8, do we trade out?
Oh, cool. Let's just talk draft now. Draft.
Everybody wants to get into draft.
That was the question.
And we will talk that next week. Absolutely. You know, that's an interesting take. I think when those DNs, that's going to be, you know, there will be a run on DNs. You just got to figure out when. And I think, like we talked with Winston Mariota, I think those are the X factors to see who's going to be there at pick 8.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that everybody has been sandbagging on Bud Dupree.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that. I mean, as we're going here, I think, you know, experts are starting to catch up with what the scouts have known all along.
He's long.
And, you know, every expert has told you that Bud Dupree is not worth a top 10 pick yet. Now, in the last couple of weeks, I've been seeing some guys coming and saying, okay, he's worth that top 10 pick.
Was it my Kentucky Blue that made you think about Bud?
Yeah. No, but I really think, you know, everybody's high on Beasley. Everybody's high on Fowler. I get that. But I think that if you end up with a guy like Dupree at 8, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think he is a lot more talented than I think people are giving him credit
for. He's pretty talented as well. And one guy I also think about it, just because we're in the South and, you know, we watch him in the SEC is, you know, Shane Ray also. A guy who's shown, you know, he broke all the records there in Missouri, broke his dad's records and all that kind of stuff in Missouri, a pass rusher, a guy who can also drop in the coverage. So there's a lot of guys up there who can fill the void that you think. And a lot of guys just look at those two or three guys that everybody says, okay, here's your guys that are top 10. But you never know guys who can sneak in and guys who can definitely fill a void. I remember listening to Coach Quinn. He said, you know, we're not all about picking the best guy or the guy at this position. We're just trying to feel who's best, who can fill the void for our team, and a guy who's, you know, who fits what we're trying to do. So it may not be what everybody else feels like is the prototypical pick for pick number 8 or for the Falcons. It's what these guys want to do. It's what Coach Quinn feels, hey, this guy can fit our scheme, and I think he can play very well.
So. Yeah, and I think at number 8, you'll get a real good idea of the direction that the team is heading as far as filling those needs. So.
You're going all Ashley Judd on us with the Kentucky Blue, right?
You know?
You are.
I'm a fashion statement guy.
We'll save some of that for next week. We got to do our draft extravaganza, so.
Yeah, definitely.
Come prepared.
Definitely,
we expect you in a tuxedo.
Last thoughts on the schedule.
I want to mention this 3-game road stint here at the end of the schedule, because I've seen a lot of people kind of freaking out about that. As somebody who travels with the team, I think you couldn't do a 3-game road stint better than Tampa Bay, Carolina, and Jacksonville, because those are such short trips for us.
It's not like you're going West Coast. It's not like you're going major traveling. And I mean, going to Florida twice, come on.
Matt can barely get a bite out of his Snickers before we're landing in Jacksonville.
And then I go straight to the Hooters at the landing, right?
Yeah, that's right. We'll be at the Hooters at the landing if you're curious.
Do they still have big old Snickers on the plane like that big?
Oh, yeah.
Oh man.
The king size, dude.
Promiscuous used to bring me them things all the time. I was also looking at the end of the schedule, and you look at 4 out of the 5 games in your division.
Yeah,
so. Huge. If, you know, you got a chance to pick up or make a lot of room right there You got Carolina towards the end twice before you end the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Saints and Tampa Bay. So you got four out of your last five games in division. So you can pretty much do what you want. I mean,
other nice thing is no weather issues.
Yeah, no weather. But those three games, and maybe you can mention this as a former player, just you get a three-game road stint like this. I mean, can you hope for better than no, keeping it within a very small radius of where you're coming from?
You can. I know a lot of guys on the team, they like to play in warm places. They don't like to play in the cold. But, I mean, you have to. But Tampa Bay and Jacksonville, come on. It's still going to be nice out. It's probably be 70s then in Carolina. Great. I mean, you can't get much better. And like you said, not going too far. I mean, guys are going to like that. Sometimes you like playing away just because you can focus a little bit more. You don't have to worry about tickets and all that other kind of stuff playing away. Mm-hmm. But like you mentioned, the proximity of where you're going, it makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier to get up for, especially two of those games are in division. So.
Yeah. Well, I expect a lot of Falcons fans at those three games too because it's not that far of a drive.
It's weird. You're playing Jacksonville in the regular season. You used to play them all the time in preseason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we played them every year. Now
I've been to that place.
Well, I mean, what's interesting is that you're playing Tennessee to open the preseason, and then you're also playing them again in the regular season, which is a rare occurrence.
Yeah. You think people will be in the pool shock on that Jacksonville game? Think it's still warm enough?
Oh, watching the big screen of the people in the pool is like one of the best parts of going to a Jacksonville
shock game. I went and toured there last year. I had our guy Hamza take me. You got to take me and show me these pools. I felt like I was like, dude, cool. I'm in Vegas. Like,
it's pretty cool. Like that.
You're not watching one part of the game.
You can't, huh?
No. It's too much fun, right? It's too much going on. You got go-go dancers and
it's a party in there, huh?
Unbelievable.
They're trying to distract you.
There were like women who were dancing. They had like butterfly wings on or something.
I was watching one game. I saw a lady was in with all her clothes on. All are clothes
on. I saw that too.
It was a lady with jeans on.
Yeah.
You guys excited about going to Levi Stadium?
Yeah.
First time, right?
Good. I'm excited. I love San Francisco as a city. I mean, anytime we go there.
Can't live there. It's too high, though, right? It costs too much right there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like the idea of
$9 for
either.
A Diet Coke. yeah, that's good. All right. Hey, let's do a break with Bosak. What do you got for us, Bosak?
All right. The schedule is talk of the town right now.
Talk of the town.
Talk of the town. I'm interested to know you guys as employees, DJ, as a fan and an employee, but also a former player. Is there any moment in history where the schedule, the NFL, when they release the schedule, they didn't do you any favors? I apologize. I'm all over the place.
You were on it.
What's one time the NFL didn't do you any favors on the schedule?
Can we get Big Jim's take on your question?
Yeah.
No, you know, the first one is easy for a shot because I looked it up. This was your rookie year.
2006?
2006. They said, you know, Hurricane Katrina wiped New Orleans pretty much off the map.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, we're going to bring New Orleans back. We're going to open the Superdome back up.
Oh, my goodness.
And U2 is going to play at this week three game.
Oh, my goodness.
The Falcons, you will play against them and get dominated.
Oh, my.
They made a statue. There's a statue outside that stadium from that game.
Dude, we had no chance in that game. I think that's probably like the one time as a player, you're like, they want this little game. I mean, the block punt. I mean, it was so loud in there. I mean,
loudest I'll ever hear.
You know what? When I first got to the league, I said, the league's not as loud as college. You're used to raw. You're used to playing in front of 100,000. People are just in their seats chilling. This place was off the meter.
You two played at halftime and pregame at a week three game.
Dude, I thought Mike was just gonna say, all right, man, somebody else go play because they were like all over him. I swear they had 15 people on the field. They were all over Mike that night. It was crazy.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I wasn't here for that one, but I got to go to last year where you had, I think, 41 days between or you had one home game in 41 days, and that was a product of going to London, having a home game go over to London. But, man, did the schedule not do us any favors after the bye week, going on the road two times in a row after that. That was a really hard one. That was a grueling test, I think, for everyone. You know, there were some games where you lost that you feel like you should have won, and that certainly didn't help. the whole situation. But, man, we talk about travel. I mean, that was a grueling, grueling stretch there.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever had a Monday night game and a Thursday game? That would be crazy.
I don't think it's
legal. I don't think they can do that.
Says it can't even be legal, that would be
illegal.
Now, they might do it to the Bills. I know the Bills are always unhappy with their schedule and because the NFL just is like, nah, whatever.
But, no, you know, one thing I did hear, though, I hear the Falcons have the easiest schedule. That's what everybody's saying. The easiest schedule on paper, yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous that you say the easiest schedule because all these guys get paid millions of dollars to play football, and they all, you know, are telling what they do. So, I remember, what is 2 years ago, the Cowboys were – like 3 or 4 and whatever, they were terrible. Next year, they were what, 12-4 or something. Yeah. I mean, so it only takes a year, so that makes no sense. But I also heard that the last 3 years, the team with the easiest schedule have reached their conference championship game.
Ooh,
I like that.
Look at that.
The last three
years. Okay, so two things you've gotten here. One, a very real admission that DJ Shockley thought that the Falcons couldn't win that game. Two.
Dude, that is breaking news.
Two.
I'm being 100 with everybody. Anybody on that team will tell you.
We keep it 100.
I'm going to tell you, everybody on that team was like, dude, this place is awesome. It's ridiculous. They were at another level, man. I mean, just sometimes nobody ever said it, but everybody was like, this is a tough one right here.
And you learned something there. So
yeah, good stats.
That was Chuck great. That was great. Do we have any break with Periscope stuff? Can we replace Bosek with somebody from Periscope?
Oh. Anybody got anything?
Anything? No? Nothing. Right. They just want to chat with Morgan. That's all it is.
That's it.
Hey, Morgan. Hi.
Sure.
Question about Hot Rod.
Question about Roddy White.
Gas is left in Roddy
White. Mm. Is there gas left in Roddy White? That's what they're saying. That's the question.
How much gas?
No, we're talking like what gas? He ate last night. Is that?
No, we're not talking about that kind of gas. I don't think so.
I'm not sure about that.
How many
gas.
Years? I think he's got he's got two more on his contract. I think he'll play those, and he'll probably ride off in the sunset after that.
One thing I know about A4 is whenever he's counted against, he always shows up. I mean, yeah, this
absolutely.
Is one of the most durable guys that's been around here.
Tough.
Plays
through so many injuries.
He's going to give you everything he's got.
You
got
to think Quinn's going to love Roddy White.
Yeah. He's exactly his kind of player. Yeah.
Roddy plays with a lot of pride. As you can see on the field, he gets in a lot of skirmishes on the field. So he plays with a lot of pride, a lot of intensity. So whatever Roddy wants to do, I think he'll be fine. And
you'll see him up in the rafters one day, for sure, next to Dion and all those guys.
All right, Bosek, give me the video of the week. And I apologize. This was sent in by someone on Twitter to me saying, hey, can this be the video of the week? And I don't have your name to give you a shout-out. I will, but thank you so much.
Morgan, you got to get our Periscope viewers. You got to stand up and get that TV so our Periscope viewers can see
come
the video
on
of the week.
In.
Now, I have seen this before, but this makes me laugh every time. Can you put this up?
Yep. Here we go.
Oh, this one, yeah.
All right, so this guy's taking a shower at his dorm or after a sporting event, and he's not getting the shampoo out of his
head. This is not coming out.
He's like, what is going on, man?
Golly. He's mad.
God, I would be so mad.
He's mad.
And he has no idea. He's like, what?
You think he would look
why does he keep hitting the water thing? What is that about?
I think it's on a timer, the water.
Oh, yeah. Okay. God, that's even worse. That's even worse. I hope none of this stuff happens in our locker room. Oh, we just lost Periscope.
Periscope is out.
Periscope went down.
Well, that's good stuff.
That's a great video. I like
Chuck,
that.
Any good locker room pranks you've been a part of?
Yeah.
That are able to be repurposed there?
Yeah, my boy. Yeah, you guys remember Chris Redman, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So it was maybe our second year together, and he told us a prank about putting stuff in guys' helmet and all that kind of stuff. And we go out to practice one day, and we put Not a slab of cheese, but it's some cheese in his helmet. At the top, underneath the helmet, there's like the little air
you
thing
and Matt
where
did
you blow
this?
It up, and then there's cheese in there. So he goes out and he's running. He's starting to sweat, and you can see it. Just, the cheese starting to roll down his face.
Where did you guys get this idea?
And then we used to always like move each other's cars and stuff. Like we knew we Key just be sitting up there. So we go out there, and we will always have to time it out till we go out there at the same time. And go out there, dude, where's my car? where's my car? And the car would be moved, like, way down at the end of the parking lot instead of where it was at. It used to be hilarious. So we'd have a lot of different things that happen in there.
One of the funnier ones I saw one time, Coy Wire took
I was going to say a Coy Wire, but, like, we talk about statues. There should be, like, a statue of Coy Wire in, like, the Prank Hall of Fame. Because he's really just, good. He's got so many.
Weatherspoon's rookie year.
That's the one I was going to say.
He gets his brand new car, and he's like, you know, he's fired up.
Brand new.
Oh, no.
He's strutting. Well, Coy Wire takes the keys and puts it
before
in,
practice.
Yeah, puts it in Jell-O.
A Jell-O mold. Like, he gave it to our kitchen staff.
The key in the Jell-O.
In there.
So it's in the middle of Jell-O.
So you had to reach in there to get the Jell-O.
Yeah.
To get the key.
The Jell-O was sitting, Coy, like, covered it up. He put it in his locker and, like, covered it up so, like, he wouldn't be able to. And then all of a sudden he pulls, like, this shirt off and there's this Jell-O mold. And inside is his key. And so he's got, and we were standing there when that happened. And he, like, had to, like, get it out. And it turned out, like, it broke the key fob. Like, he could not get
it in broke.
His car. Yeah.
Brand new car.
Yeah.
That's all bad right there.
Did Coy ever scare you? Did he ever get in your hotel room and scare you? You know, one thing.
No. He never got in. I remember that happening all the time.
Coy, what he would do is he would, so when you go on the hotel, there's an envelope with your name on it.
Big old table. Everybody has their name
and
their keys.
And you have two keys in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so he would sprint off the bus and grab a guy's envelope, take one of the keys out, and then he'd go wait in the guy's room and scare the crap out of him.
We did a whole video series on
and,
that.
And it was, I mean, some of the ones.
Matt Ryan, Obi Mahaley's was good. that was pretty. You know, one time Coy got into somebody's back seat of their car. And the guy, I can't remember who it was, and they actually drove out. I think it might have been Redmond. I don't know. But they actually drove out of the facility, went down the street. And all of a sudden, Coy pops up in the back seat.
Ooh.
And he almost went. No, it was William Moore. I'm sorry. It was William Moore he did this to. Pops
more,
up.
More ready. Oh, yeah. I'd have been
pops
ready.
Pops up in the back seat, and they almost drove right off the freaking road.
No way.
I can't imagine doing this.
Coy's
so,
crazy,
honestly,
man.
Honestly, crazy. For 2 years while he was there after that, I would check my backseat every time I got into my
just
car.
In case. Shock. When I would get my keys and there'd be in one case. In it, I'd be like, Spencer. Yeah.
No.
I know Coy.
Not doing it.
I'm supposed to have two keys, dude.
Coy's a legend.
Somebody go with me.
Yeah, he's great.
Coy's in CNN.
Great things at CNN.
Big stuff.
I like to say I gave him his first break.
Yeah. We're going to ride that star as far as we can.
All right, well, this is good. Good schedule. I'm excited to keep going through it. And then, like Jay said, next week we'll really get into the draft
extravaganza.
And next week, Jay's going to wear a tank top. I don't know if you guys saw his selfie. You guys see his selfie today from 2012 until today? Nobody saw that?
He's gay. Transformation. Transformation, baby.
Go check him out. Check him out. Transformation Wednesday. That's
Jay
what that's
doing good things, man. Jay's been doing good
show
things.
Show what you did on the show. You did this thing. You did 2012, 2015.
The shirt sucks. It doesn't show off the guns like I would like it to. Whatever.
Check him out, man.
For Ashley Judd, Jay Adams, I'm Matt Moore.
Ashley
we'll
Judd.
See you next week on Falcon Cast.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Nailed it.
Bosek, you got to hit Bosek. Psych, Austin. Bow. Oh.